Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger.
Yes, my friends, welcome to ET First Contact Radio. My name is Maarten Horst and my guest today, it's breaking news, is Costa Macreas. And Costa Gus Macreas is the co-founder of ETLetsTalk.org and the founder of the global CE5 ET Contact Initiative and the People's Disclosure Movement. Costa is an international networker and creative artist working on behalf of right relations between all life forms. He was born in Fort Wayne, Indiana in 1953. In 1977, he earned a BA in computer science from Indiana University. He has been a successful software consultant in the Silicon Valley for more than 3 decades. Most of all, he has been a dedicated spiritual activist since his teen. As a young man, Costa became fascinated with the mysteries of the universe, teaching himself astrology, meditation, astronomy, and reading widely on extraterrestrial UFOs, comparative religion, spirituality, Atlantis, and many other metaphysical topics. Currently, his passion is creating and nurturing a global citizens movement which contacts benevolent star civilizations visiting the Earth. The movement seeks to empower individuals and groups to interact with these ET beings and moreover to create with them a positive planetary transformation, a new Earth of peace, abundance and justice. Costa believes that we are all living in a unique, challenging and wonderful point in history as we transition to a new mode of enlightenment and spiritual living where planetary peace reigns between humanity and all life forms on and off the Earth. And I must agree with you, Costa, this is a beautiful point of view, a beautiful vision of life, and this is also how I see it. So I think we are family in this regard, and I want to welcome you with the bottom of my heart to this show, and we'll have a wonderful conversation today.
Thank you for having me on the show, Martin. It's really an honor to meet someone who is doing his best to feature positive people, positive missions that are going on at this time, because we all need to be hearing the good news because we get such a mix of negative news about what's going on. But yes, I believe we're on the same page, and we see a good future, but we have to work for it.
Yes, we have very hard indeed. And I must tell you, Costa, that a couple of years ago, when I started making radio, I was sometimes interviewing people that go into conspiracy theories with negative things, and I don't do that anymore. I only bring positive news where people can have perspective of the future. And the people that I bring on, like yourself, I know have this positive message. So, but yes, we have to work very hard.
We do. There has been negative programming and a lot of things that we personally and as a global society have to overcome. So I have immersed myself and learned about the negative things, and I know they're around me. But mm-hmm. I also know that in the end, light and love will transmute and neutralize the negativities so that we can, you know, move forward in a more positive future. So my philosophy is not to look back and pretend negativity or evil doesn't exist, but instead to work hard and to find other people with whom I can cooperate in order to transmute it, in order to offer alternatives and show people that there is a better way, and that in the end the light really wins out. So yeah, so it's a positive vision.
Yes, and indeed we don't have to ignore the negative. But a great teacher called Ian Shell Langold said in a lecture, where you focus your attention on you become aware of, and this is how consciousness works. So if we all focus on a positive outcome with disclosure and the ETs, then we will have indeed a wonderful future.
You have put it just as well as I possibly could have. That was really spot on, Martin. The work I'm doing individually and collectively with my teams in this ET contact movement is just that. It's to focus on what it is that we want, because we know we're creating it every second and every time that we go forth in the mission. So that's our focus, and we know it will come about. It's the law. The law says, you know, where energy follows thought. So as a community, we're applying that thought to get it sequenced and in synchronicity, to approach our ET elder brothers, sisters, and cousins, and engage them in working with us.
Yes, I'm so eager to meet them, you know, because I want to plot out a scenario for you, and if you agree on that, maybe you can say how you think this will work. Okay, so there is an overall process of the ascension process, and there are two major steps. The first step is full galactic disclosure, and after that, after the whole population of the Earth is well informed, there will be a massive first contact. Now, if you agree on this, then how do you see this is going to work out when full galactic disclosure happens?
Well, for one thing, Let me just say that I don't have any, first of all, any inside knowledge on the timing or the methods or the way it's going to come about. I see bits and pieces and try to put things together from information from truthful sources that I can get. So like many of your listeners, I'm just making speculative educational guesses. That's kind of my disclaimer. Now where my hopes are is something different, where my vision. What I'm trying to say is I don't know exactly how the disclosure will happen. There's so many scenarios, and I suspect that they're shifting all the time, depending on how humanity is responding, and also depending on the opposition that sometimes comes up to it. So I kind of look at it as it must be this tremendous chess game between the people on Earth who are working for disclosure and the ETs who are also working with each other and with them. So given that it's probably a fast-changing and constantly changing scenario, again, I don't know if I can put any my finger on how it will happen. Would it happen overnight all of a sudden, or will it happen incrementally? Sometimes I mostly think that incrementally is probably the wisest way. But like so many of your listeners, I would love to see, you know, a mass landings in the capitals of the world or in most of the world. And yet I don't know if that's how it will happen. So my teams and I, we're putting our energy into just making sure that it does happen. Wiser minds than ours who can see the bigger picture than what we can see are the ones that will figure out the best implementation of how to come about, how this disclosure should come about. So we're just going to continue working and doing our monthly work, doing contact, our daily work doing contact, and just trusting that the whole process is really organized and under control of the many light beings on planet and off planet who are involved in this.
Yes. I recently met a guy who was on the radio also, Sanne Dijkstra. He organized the CE5 groups in the north of Holland. But how many countries are now involved in the CE5 initiative? How many groups are there?
On a monthly basis, we will get more than 34 countries and more than half of the USA states involved or that have a team with them, within them. We had our most record-breaking month this last May 11th, which was a Saturday near the full moon, when 600 teams joined us in those 34 countries during the 24-hour period that we did the coordinated ET contact. Previous to that, in the previous month in April, we'd had about 150 teams, so we saw a fourfold increase. Somehow, something spiked like that, and we certainly hope that these numbers will keep increasing, you know, within countries and across many, many more countries, because the ETs have asked us to form as many teams as we can as quickly as possible in as many locations as we can. And the reason for this is that they are thereby given permission when we as humans seek to make contact with them. They're given permission to involve themselves more in our affairs and to help us so that our free will still is not impinged on, but yet they have more latitude in dealing with us when we invite them. So that's the purpose of our teams. As more of our teams call them forth, they will appear in many, many more places. And they call this a virtuous circle because as they appear in many ways in many more places, then more humans will become aware of them and try to contact them in greater numbers, which will mean even more ETs can appear in even more places. So you can see that is a virtuous circle there, a feedback loop that is very positive. Eventually, there will be so many sightings and so much contact across the Earth that the control groups that seek to suppress this activity will not be able to do that. They will just be outnumbered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what I can do to connect with people in the Netherlands so that I can set up groups here. Absolutely. And what I will do in my and other radio shows, I will try to promote the CE5 initiative also with other guests, regardless of who they are. Because I think this is a very good initiative, and I think it's going to bear fruit when more people are doing this.
Thank you very much for doing that. I like to say that the center of this movement is everywhere. I may have, in October of 2010, I may have come up with the idea of coordinating and contacting all these groups and facilitating them every month to make contact. But you know what? In the end, if nobody showed up to do it, if the everyday people like myself didn't show up to do these monthly events of human ET contact, I would have nothing to coordinate. I would have nothing to facilitate. So my honor and my respect is for all the hundreds and thousands of people who join us every month and actually do the work and go out in the field or in their living rooms and actually make contact.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Yes, it is. How many hours per day do you contribute to coordinating this whole worldwide movement?
That's a great question. I don't log them, but I'll tell you, it's got to be at least 4 hours a day, every day. At this point, I'm getting hundreds of emails from people all over the world asking questions and mm-hmm. wanting information, etc. And I like to answer everybody that I can, even if it's only a couple sentences. So yeah, the time does add up. And over the years, since I got involved in this in 2006, initially, I'm sure that I've put in thousands of hours. But it's not unlike anyone else who has found a wonderful, passionate mission. You put in the time, and it's a labor of love. You spend your money, your energy, you contact other people, you try to inspire, because you're building something. So your passion and your soul go into it. And I don't think I'm any different than anybody else who has found a great mission, and mine happens to be this one, ET Human Contact. And it's gone well, and have had a lot of help along the way, which I very much appreciate.
Oh, yes, it's so good to connect with people who are also doing this. And my passion is also to facilitate the awareness of ET contact all around the world by doing this radio show, with you doing it in your way, and Stephen Greer is doing it in his way. So Stephen Bestett is doing it in his way. And so many people that are working all on their own, in their own fields, in their own expertise, to make this possible. And I think we are now quite a large group.
We're certainly larger than we were a year ago, 2 years ago, 5, 10 years ago. You're absolutely right. I think that what's being organized here really is a revolution. And I don't mean like the typical type of revolution you think about that involves violence and wars and all that. No, nothing like that. I mean is just a revolutionary and evolutionary step that we're taking, where we as people are taking our power back, because the control groups that have suppressed the UFOs and the ETs and the free energy and everything that comes, the good things that come with this, those groups have not given us power. They have taken more power and money of all kinds for themselves and not really cared about the common person. Well, this particular revolution and evolutionary step is by the people. The governments haven't done enough. And so the people are leading this, and when the people lead, the leaders will have to follow eventually. So this is a people-powered movement, and like I said before, everybody's at the center of it. We all have networks, whether on email or on social media or within our community groups, our families, our workplaces. And when we feel right, we can all talk about how human ET contact is something that is simple and everyone can do, and moreover, everyone has a community. At etletstalk.org, we have a social community there of, I believe now it's more than 3,000 people who have a safe place to talk about their experiences and to get information and to connect with each other, totally focused on this topic of doing a consciousness-based, human-initiated ET contact. And
that's a good idea. I think we all should go, if you are interested, to set up an C5 initiative group in your own place, go to etletstalk.org. And how do you subscribe, Costa?
You just go to etletstalk.org, and you are presented with a free and a paid membership, which is a very inexpensive one, and you get different features. Obviously, a paid membership gives you some more features than a free one, but everyone is able to look at the forums where people are talking and meeting each other and announcing where they're located and hoping to find others that are nearby to them, and also getting their questions answered or being able to tell their stories about ET contact. So everybody is able to read about that. We have something that we are very excited about there, which is the member map, the community map of all the groups. And I believe we may have 2,500 groups listed there. It's the kind of map that you might see like on Google, where you see the world and all mm-hmm. the countries. And it has different colored spheres on it representing different numbers of people in different geographical areas. And just as if you were on Google, you can zoom in closer and closer to where you live, if you wish, and find people in your town or maybe in nearby towns who have registered on that map and are willing to meet others in order to do CE5s or in order to correspond, whatever it is. So it's a friendly way to build the community, to make the connections, to find the friends there, and to find the support. You'd be surprised, Martin, that how many people have written me and said, I'm so glad I found your group at etletstalk.org, because I've been afraid to talk about my contact since I was a child, or an experience I had last week when I saw StarCraft. Mm-hmm. I've been afraid to talk about it, they tell me, to my coworkers, maybe sometimes to family, to some friends, and certainly not to the general public. But they're very happy when they can find like-minded people on our website and within that community that they can talk about with this and in safety, and not to be afraid, mm-hmm. and be able to explore even further and go further with the group than they may have been able to go alone.
Yeah, that sounds very appealing for me, and I think for many listeners as well. And just if you want to support me, on bbsradio.com/ET First Contact Radio, there's a donation button just underneath the picture of Salusa that I use for my as a logo for my radio station. You can help me with a small donation to continue the show. So thank you for that. And Costa, I just want to ask you, you said you had an experience last week when you saw a craft. You want to talk about it?
Oh, I was referring, I've had experiences, and I'll be happy to talk about one of them, but in that particular statement, I was kind of...
Oh, just as an example.
Yeah, I was using as an example of what people
okay.
tell me.
Okay, okay.
However,
yeah.
I've had many experiences, and sometimes it's hard to pick which one is my favorite, but if you want to hear about one, I can try to give you one.
Sure. I would like to hear it. So, Donald, maybe play How I Love You from Chloe Goodchild. I dedicate this song to the Galactics to make contact with us as soon as possible. Thank you. How I Love You from Chloe Goodchild from the album Fierce Wisdom. And Costa, I was dedicating this song to the Galactics to show themselves and to make contact with us, because I want to say that I welcome them, and I think many listeners agree with me that we want contact. And the words "How I Love You" in a mantra is really a way of saying we love you and you can come.
That's wonderful you say that. I'm not sure at what point my story was cut off by the technical problem, but if you want me to finish the story, you will see how it fits in with the song that you just chose, and there are no accidents.
Go right ahead, Costa. I'm very curious to hear.
I was talking about how during a week-long training session with Dr. Greer's group at Mount Shasta in California, we had just finished a meditation. It must have been late at night, 11:30, and the sky was overcast, but no wind, very calm, and just a little drizzly. Well, interestingly enough, after this, our group of about 40 finished the meditation, my wife, who was sitting next to me, as well as someone else across the circle, pointed up above our heads to the sky, and directly over the group, you could see that a circle of sky had cleared. It was just black space with sparkling stars right above us, you know, overhead, and yet the rest of the sky still had clouds, and there was no wind. It's almost as if we had burned a hole through the clouds that now was showing us space. We were really amazed. And as we continued to watch over the next minute or two, in the middle of that space, this white, wispy cloud started forming. If you've ever been to like a rock concert or something, you sometimes see clouds of the CO2, or I'm not sure what it is, dry ice, that comes up for a special effect, and it gets thicker and thicker. That's kind of what this was like. It started out very thin, and then it kept getting thicker in the middle of this black circle. And finally, it looked like it was forming something, and people started pointing and exclaiming, "It's a giant heart." It was a giant heart shape of a cloud up there. And a woman across the way from us told the group, "I just received the telepathic message. That heart was formed by ETs, and they wanted to tell us, and they're telling us, we love you."
Wow. Beautiful.
And you cannot make this up. There were 40 people who witnessed this. It just amazing. And I've carried that with me for many years, you know, that whole experience. I've had other experiences, but that's what I want to convey to your listeners, is that we're getting a lot of these visitors here to help us. And when you have an experience like that, where they visibly and through telepathy give you that message, we love you, then you realize that their presence here is more than just about counting how many sightings there are, you know, studying them scientifically, which is all good stuff, but it's really a mission of love on their part. For many civilizations, they've come at this particularly crucial time when we as humanity stand at the precipice of being able to either destroy ourselves and the planet, or being able to come together and take the next leap forward in our evolution and to join our galactic neighborhood and friends. So that's why they're here. They recognize we're in that transition, and to the extent that we allow them to cooperate with us without infringing on our free will, they're here to help in many ways that they can.
Yeah, Costa, I have figured something out. In the last couple of years, I understood one thing, that love is the most important, unconditional love. To love your neighbor, to love yourself, is very difficult for many people. But love is really the most important energy there is in the universe, that is gluing everything together that is alive. And we are alive, and that's a gift. And those galactics are also alive, and the way they communicate is through love to each other and to us.
And if we learn the ways that they can do that, one thing I tell a lot of my teams as especially new ones, when they start making contact, they will ask me, well, how can I tell that I have made contact? Will I see a flashing light in the sky? Will a UFO come, an ET come over my house? And my answer is, it's going to be different. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, but it's going to be unique and different almost for every group, because you cannot limit them in the ways that they will want to show themselves to you or be able to show themselves to you. There's a factor of safety there, because the control groups who have been suppressing their presence here or the news of their presence, these control groups have militarized weapons in space that can detect when ET craft are ready to materialize into our space or whether they're trying to contact us in other ways. And these weapons, unfortunately, have harmed some of our ET friends, but many times they have not. And so the ETs know about all this, they monitor it, and they will choose a way that is safe for them and for us, for we humans, to know, make their presence known when it's possible for them to do it. It may not always be possible. But as my groups ask me, okay, how will that happen? Well, a lot of different ways. They're very creative. You may get a telepathic message. You may have a lucid dream where they appear and interact with you. You may feel a touch on your shoulder that comes out of nowhere, or on your knee. You may feel a wave of love just wash through you and elevate you and lift you and inspire you that comes out of nowhere. You may have strange electrical phenomenon, like we've had iPhones that turn themselves on and start playing music when there isn't even that song that's on the iPhone itself.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, we've had, and I can't even begin to tell you all the different stories. I don't have a great memory for them, but you know, you can imagine with hundreds of groups out there, most of them making contact, there are going to be many different ways and really cool stories like that of electrical phenomenon and of contact that come across. And every month I try to collect reports from people who have participated on that Saturday. In our coordinated global effort. And sometimes I'll get about 3 to 4 dozen responses where people describe their experiences and say, well, this is what happened with our group and with contact when we went out last Saturday night. And I collect all those and I publish them and send them to the wider group. Lately, there have been so many groups that I'm manually unable to keep up with all that. So I've been encouraging people to go to the forums on etletstalk.org and record their experiences there so that everybody can read about the breadth of the types of experiences that are going on. That's really a glue for our community, by the way, Martin. When other people who, most of our people will never be able to meet each other because we're all over the world, but when we meet in cyberspace on etletstalk.org and tell our stories, we form friendships and we form bonds. And we share information and we inspire and educate each other by the virtue of the kind of experience we've had that is amazing to us, but is also amazing to other people. And we hear about their amazing experiences. This is a glue that really helps the community to coalesce and to feel as more like one organism.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I just want to elaborate a bit on iPhone switching on, for example. The last couple of years, I've visited England in the area of Wiltshire, where the crop circles appear. And I have seen really strange things with electronic devices inside the crop circles.
Mm-hmm.
Really amazing.
I'm glad that you say that, because the more of us that report experiences like that, the more we realize that, you know, we're not crazy, and it's not imagination, or it's not a mistake that we're making, correct?
Yeah.
And so even though people can make ET contact on their own, really anytime, anywhere that the ETs think that it's safe, it doesn't have to be in a group, it doesn't have to be really at night, it doesn't have to be on a Saturday when we do it, you can do it any day of the week, when you're asleep, whatever. But it's nice to have a group because you feel that sense of someone can validate your experience. When one person points at the sky or hears music coming out of nowhere on the ground, and there are people around who can say, yeah, I hear that too, or yes, I see that too, then you know you have an experience there that you're not making up. And what's even more important is that as you and others around you have an experience, it's something that you own. It's yours. There is no authority that can come in and say, move right along, you didn't see anything, sign this non-disclosure, you know, this never happened. That's a guess. There's too many thousands of us doing this now for people to tell us, you're making this up, you're imagining this, it didn't happen.
Indeed, and I'm so glad that we can all support each other. And also Facebook is a medium where people share their stories about what they experienced with ET.
That's right. A lot of groups are springing up across Facebook and across other websites. What's really great about ETLetsTalk.org is we believe we have a more secure place for people to go where there's more privacy and more security. On many social websites, as people may know, you don't know really who's listening in or watching all the words that you're writing. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be communicating on there, because there are things that those offer that that are valuable. So people should, you know, connect any way that they can. But at least at ETLetsTalk.org, we believe we offer a more secure place for people to share their experiences.
Okay. Yeah, so that they will not be ridiculized. Yeah, it's a secure space. And you are sure that the person you're dealing with on the forum on ETLetsTalk.org is somebody who is serious about it.
That's true, and we do monitor the conversations. If there are always going to be trolls and maybe disinfo agents that try to sneak in.
That
happens online everywhere. So yeah. we're aware of that, and where we find someone who's causing trouble, we ask them to stop, and if they don't stop, they get removed, because we want to create that environment where people feel safe. And sometimes when that are other people who don't respect that, then they don't belong on our website. They can go somewhere else and cause trouble.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I just want to ask Donald about Om and Sri Ma. Costa, this is music that is very rare, very difficult to find, but it's very high in vibration. And because I feel you also have a very high vibration, I can feel that through the internet. yeah, and because this is so crucial and important for people to know that the ETs are love and that they want to share their love with us. And if we raise our vibration, they can pick this up, and hopefully they're listening in their ships to this broadcast. Because with this music, I want to make them aware how we feel as humanity. And I think the music that I selected, Om and Sri Ma from Chloe Goodchild, is the perfect example for expressing the feeling that I have myself towards the ETs. So if you're ready, Donald, play Om, followed by Sri Ma.
J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-J-
way of saying and talking to the ETs like, we love you, this is what we feel for you. Sri Ma, Ma O. That means be love and embrace love. So, Costa, now that we have so many ET Let's Talk groups, so many CE5 initiative groups, I think it will even start to grow further. And it's so excellent to know that we are not alone and that we can do this together. And in fact, I'm very hopeful for the future.
I am too. One thing that the ETs told us when they asked us to form so many more groups and to keep forming them is that by participating as diverse groups but coordinating and participating together, at mm-hmm. least during the once a month that we do get together, we are creating with the ETs, we're co-creating as partners, an alternative positive future, a portal for the Earth for us to enter through, a timeline. And mm-hmm. as more of us focus on this and focus on the vision of what we want and ask for the help that we need, we're making that positive future all the more likely. Obviously, there are many groups in many different ways who are doing good works that are also, in their own way, contributing to a better world. And so this is our effort once a month to join that larger effort and that larger group by contributing our own vision and also getting a boost from the ETs. I suspect that the ETs come from civilizations where they may have had their struggles too before they became galactics. They may have had to overcome extreme circumstances and hatred and whatnot, the way that we're trying to do that. And having gone into other dimensions and into space and succeeding and not destroying themselves, they probably want to carry that message to us that we can make it through this, that it is possible, and that in the way of an elder brother, sister, and a cousin, they're offering their hands, figuratively speaking, and maybe literally too, to help us. And again, they won't do it for us because we have to grow up and take responsibility. But yet, we can use a helping hand. We can use some extra wisdom, advice, guidance. I know that they're willing to give some of the technologies they have to help us, you know, mm-hmm. in medicine, in science, in energy, and so on. But we have to be willing to take that step and raise our own vibrations and become more peaceful towards each other and towards them in order for this to come about for everybody in a holistic way.
That's beautiful put. Beautifully said. Thank you.
You're welcome.
this is how the future looks like. And I just looked at the sky and there was the almost full moon. I heard there will be a very important energetic portal opening this Saturday, the 25th. Did you also get that, Costa?
Yes, I've read that information. It's published by a gentleman named Cobra on his mm-hmm. website, and he's been talking about how important it is for that portal to be opening. I can't remember right now where the location might be, and I don't know if it's just one location or many, or whether it's been revealed. But the important thing is that, yeah, he's asking people, Cobra is at, I would have to go to his website, I don't remember the
yeah,
time.
But 2012 portal at blogspot.com.
I see. Yeah, the information is there, and the more people that can help that, and I'm sure there will be galactics and ETs tuning into that too, it will help dispel a lot of the negative entities who are around the Earth and trying to cause trouble in the astral planes, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's important. I urge people to join in on that, and I think they can find out what the local time is by going to the URL that you just mentioned to see when in their time zone they could be joining in.
Yes, and Cobra has been on the show also in January of this year. And you can go to the archive by going to bbsradio.com/ET First Contact Radio. and then click on, it's blue and white with white letters, Program Archives, and there is a interview I did with Cobra in January. So you can find it all there. His website is 2012portal.blogspot.com. And the update is also on the Galactic Free Press about the meditation for this Saturday to open up this doorway.
I'm getting a confirmation in my own way that this is important. So your words are very much underscored by the ETs that are present with us in consciousness. And we have to understand consciousness is everywhere. So where we raise our vibrations and wish to meet ETI, you know, ET intelligence, then it's possible in any place we are. So what I urge people is if they want to learn how to make the contact, it's simple. And they can come to etletstalk.org. They can click on the link that says Making Contact. And there they can read the simple procedure of how to get quiet and still and do some visualization to connect to ETs. And then they can start looking for the different ways that the contact will come. Every person can do it, and that's the whole idea. You don't have to be special. You don't need some authority telling you that it's okay to do it. You just do it. And you get results.
Well, Costa, I'm sure that this is going to grow, this group. And I want to wish you all of the best and good luck with your work that you're doing with etletstalk.org. We have run out of time, unfortunately. But I love to have you. It was just wonderful, this conversation. And I'm sorry you dropped out, but I have the feeling that the Galactics were present during this radio transmission.
I think so.
Thank you very much, and love to your wife.
Thank you.
To Holly Spolk, who was also on ET First Contact Radio, and you can see the interview on YouTube. If you type ET First Contact Radio, Holly Spolk, you will find it on YouTube. So thank you very much, Costa, and I hope we'll talk soon again. And to the listeners, I'll be back on Monday on Finding Voices Radio, and next week I will have a special guest, Jose Bozan, who is a contactee, and he will be live on BBS Radio on this station at the same time next week. Thank you very much.